question. What's up? What's up? Welcome to another episode of Oliver Voiceover, Kiff VH. I'm your host, Kiff VH, and I'm so excited to be joined by the lovely, the talented Mindy Pack. Mindy, I could give your bio or a variation of it, but it's better. It's better coming from you. We met through our mutual friend Sissy Jones and and through the Savar Project and this extraordinary weekend, and we were just sort of before we started talking, you know, revisiting it. So thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk with me. I really appreciate
Absolutely.
it.
Absolutely. Anybody that's a voice nerd, I will always talk to.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome.
I love nerding out with all things voice. So this is fun.
That's so great. Where did that start for you? Like, how did what's your background? Where are you from originally? Let's start there. Like,
yeah, so I'm based out of Salt Lake City. I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah. Uh-huh. Still live here, but I have a studio in Utah, and then I also have a studio that I work out of in LA. So I'm back and forth a lot. Pretty much I was always a singer. My first audition was, I was like 7 years old, and my mom sent me to this like performing arts studio, and my audition song, which looking back was a horrible, horrible choice. But I was an 8 year old singing a Poison song. I love 80s metal.
Yeah.
And I literally walked into this audition as an 8 year old, and I was like, we pull into the drive in and we find a place to park. We hop into the back seat where it's always nice and dark. I'm just about to move, thinking, ooh, this chick is cool. There's a light in my eye, and a guy says, out of the car, long hair. And I'm like, Mom, how did you allow this to be an audition song for an 8 or 10 year old? Like, come on. But I got the part, so it's all good.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Oh, that's so great. What was the part? What did you, was it getting into?
So it was kind of like an elite training program. So it was for people who really wanted to, it was like this whole singing, dancing kind of thing that was a big, kind of like a private training school here.
Amazing.
And it was awesome. I mean, by the time I was 16, I got my first professional job where I actually moved to Japan for a series. I left high school for a little bit, for about a month, and I did this whole circuit thing over in Japan. So it was just something that I've always wanted to do. Like, I was always a performer, doing these kind of singing, dancing things. And then it kind of started, you know, turning into, oh, do I have to go to school for it? What should I do? And you know, growing up in Utah, it was never like you should leave Utah. Like, I never really, I don't know if it was a cultural thing or a family thing, but it was like, you just don't leave. And so, I started doing these like USO kind of type private tours where we would go to third world countries and then came back and somebody said, hey, do you want to coach? Do you want to teach at this performing arts, a different performing arts school? And I was like, yeah, I could do that. And I just fell in love with coaching. Like, I realized that I still love performing and I still do perform randomly on things, but I just loved coaching. And so I really started honing into development of that and different schooling programs. I was really fascinated with different methodologies. I'm kind of like the black wolf, where it's like, you know, dark horse or whatever, where I'm always like looking for different things. And like, I don't follow a certain ideology where it's like, you have to be here. It's like, no, I want as many tools as I can.
Yeah.
Which has benefited my career, because like, I can do rock, metal, scream. I can do the growling, the exertions in VO world. Like, I figured out really how to do it and how to teach it so that people can execute it and myself can execute it safely and have just all these different tools and textures. I went to school to become a clinical vocalist, which is kind of like the who's, how's, what's of how to create voice. So like the different air pressures and harmonics and formants and that, which tune into things. And it specializes in rehabilitation and habilitation. So helping the injured voice, and then also setting up habits so that you don't get injured.
Wow.
So it's kind of like this weird thing and all this other stuff. And I mean, to throw on top of it, when I was touring with different artists who were on tour, I actually became a licensed massage therapist, because I realized that voicing doesn't just happen on the vocal cords. It's a whole body.
Yeah.
So not only do I work the inner voice, but I can get my hands in and stretch tongues and open everything up and put the neck and everything that is the voicing mechanics back into resting position. Incredible. So it's kind of like this weird unicorn of jack of all trades.
That's amazing. What a fascinating journey. Like when,
it's totally fun.
What was it about like the, your desire to explore rehabilitation and dealing with the mechanics of the voice, did that emerge from a place of, as an artist and as a singer initially, and then you're like, why do I feel rough, or those kind of things that made you question it? Or was it more like, it's a gig and I'm here and it's a good thing in the downtime, and then you start to discover, you know what I mean? Like, which is totally how I fell into improv teaching. But like, you know, what's what I just want to dive in just a touch deeper into that process for you.
It's actually a fascinating story, and it would be like, we're going to do another podcast on this. I was one of those voices that never ever got injured.
Really?
Never had anything wrong. I never had any real limits. Like, I just thought everybody was born the way I was. Like, I worked hard as a performer and like developing my craft, but I never realized that people had issues in their own voices. I just thought everybody could do it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until, I would have been just barely over 30. And my second son, I had just had my second son, and there was an attempted kidnapping on him.
Oh my God. Lady,
I know, this is where the other podcast story comes in. But I got him back and he was fine. But I went through this like insane emotional trauma because I watched this woman running away with my 4-month-old baby.
Holy.
But because of that, the mental component, I ended up not sleeping. I ended up getting really sick, and then I ended up getting injured. I ended up getting nodules. And, you know, like for a voiceover person, that's like I have nodules. It's like the worst thing that you could ever think of.
And just as a sidebar, not to interrupt, I'm sorry. I've heard about nodules. I don't think I've ever gotten them. What are nodules? What is it?
So nodules is when you get two essential, like they're pretty much considered calluses on the outside of the vocal cord. So it's from too much compression or too much something that's going in. Typically males don't get them. And this is where it's like a big caveat, because it usually happens when you're at higher frequencies.
I see.
So unless you're a male voice that's like up here all the time, like up there.
Yeah.
Males typically, not saying they don't, but they typically don't get them. They get other things. Women typically get them more just because of where the frequency is of where they talk and sing, and they're just in that higher frequency.
I see. Okay.
So, I mean, for a lot of people, it's like, oh, I have nodes or whatever.
Yeah.
And coming from a place where I've never had issues, I also, the shame and guilt that I got from just like the voice world being like, oh, well, you're a coach, like you should know better, when it wasn't something that I was doing singing. It was truly an emotional trauma that caused it. I just, at that point, I was like, I never want anybody to experience what I'm going through, because I felt very isolated and very alone.
Wow.
And so I was like, something traumatic turned into a really beautiful moment in my career, because that's what put me into this path of becoming a clinical vocologist, was like, I don't want anybody to feel isolated like I did, or feel the guilt and shame when it was something that was out of my control.
Yeah.
Or even if it was in my control and it was because I had a heavy role that I was doing that I had to get through.
Right.
And if it wasn't for my coach, who literally you could listen to our lessons where I'm like crying on the piano going like, what is going on? Like his hand holding to get me back out of it. It kind of changed my whole purpose of what I feel I do as a coach.
Wow.
And so, yeah, that's kind of where it just fueled the fire. And I just was like, this is what I'm supposed, like, I truly feel this is what I meant to do, is to be the coach that I am, and just to continue learning and helping those that are in need, to just provide the knowledge, you know, because knowledge is power.
Yeah.
So to provide the knowledge and the tools so that people can have healthy habits and continue with what they're supposed to be doing.
That's so amazing. I really relate to that guilt and shame, like that feeling of, even by no fault of your own, you agree to, not no fault, but you know, like, because you've been told different things about vocal health when I'm in different circumstances.
Yeah.
From, you know, look, we have you for an hour, so it's a shortened version of the thing, but I can still do a lot of damage in an hour. And or even stuff that's just regular use or projected over talking on a phone conversation. Like I, you know, recently had a, I'd been narrating an audiobook, and so consistency is really important, but I had a vocally stressful session in the middle of it. And I do feel that sense of any other career, aside from maybe if you're a motion capture performer or a stunt person, where you are really doing extreme physical activity that can compromise your ability to continue the next day. I felt that acutely my next morning of like, all right, let's get started. You know, I sounded like Tom Waits, and it was like, oh no, well, this isn't going to match what we've been doing.
What you're doing, you're like, you know, I just sound like I smoked a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, that's right. I'm making a character choice.
I mean, like one of the most, I mean, vocalists and especially like BO world, you guys, they are vocal athletes because you have to be able to have this freedom and flexibility in the vocal tract. And what I think is really fascinating, which people don't put two and two together, is like when an orchestra tunes to that A440, so that you have that going in there, when you vocally match that pitch, your vocal cords are coming together 440 times a second. So you think of that amount of collision that's going on per second, and you guys are voicing, you know, 8 hours, 10 hours a day. And that's not including the extremes of if you're going up into character or you're going down, or you have that, hey, you know, with like grenade, where you're like screaming into that, where you're adding that contortions and extremes. Like, it's really important for the knowledge, again, to understand how to get into that spot the healthy way, but then also how to balance back out of that. So you don't have, I call it vocal limping. You're not like the next morning having issues where you can't have that consistency. And that's where, you know, I really feel education is important and like the talking of it and really getting out there to know that there are tools that singers can have and voiceovers can have. There are tools and tricks that you can do to do it, and that you need to make that a priority. Yeah. Because you are an athlete, you know, and just how, you know, if you're playing an NBA game, I mean, there's so many parallels. The NBA has a coach that calls all the plays and helps keep in balance. So vocal athletes should have somebody that's helping them maintain those plays and keeping that in balance. But then also, like, you have the structure of like, hey, I'm going in for that layup. Okay, how do I vocally do that? That you're approaching all of that with precision.
Yeah.
So that you don't twist an ankle or you don't vocally like get out of misalignment, you know, so that you're all of a sudden limping the next day.
Yeah. That's so true. And it's something that I just, up until recently, didn't really think about a necessary member of a team because you're a one-man band for so long and there is no clear path. But putting it in the context of like, look, you're an elite athlete regardless of what tier you're performing at. If you're auditioning on a daily basis, if you're singing on a daily basis, you need to have that. Why would you not? And it's just something that you don't necessarily, that's not like front of mind and needs to be. And it's not front of mind until you hurt yourself. You know what I mean? It's like, exactly. I don't need a doctor until I'm sick. Right. And that's, but I'm 50. So like, I'm not thinking that way anymore, you know?
Well, it's about longevity for sure. Yeah. It's about having that longevity. And I think, you know, where people get into issues with the voice is because everybody should learn, everybody knows how to talk. So why do you need somebody to help you when it's something that you're already doing?
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of people too, is they're so used to a certain way of doing it that until they're shown a different way, they don't realize that they could be compensating for it in that way until they realize, oh, that's a different way of feeling that. Oh, okay. I feel that differently. You know? So I think it's just, again, an awareness that needs to happen or finding that spot because everybody talks, you know, so that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Or people associate like, well, I have to yell. Yelling should hurt. No, it shouldn't. You can yell correctly without feeling pain.
Yeah.
It's just figuring out how to do it.
Wow. Oh, that's fascinating. That's fascinating. Well, tell me about how important is, this is the nature of my show, is I'm,
I stumble a lot. See the wheel. I wish people could see your face right now because you can see the wheels turning like, okay, there's like so many areas we can go into right now.
Yeah, completely. And I want to hit them, but I also do want it to have somewhat of a logical flow. So that's what I'm unpacking in the process, which is always entertaining and fun. So I guess my first because I've come to it, and in the VO or in the improv work that I've been, you know, that I talked about at Savara in particular, it was about the importance of creating a daily practice for yourself. And auditions are not enough. Like that idea, I became recently a big fan of Don Green, who is a performance coach from Juilliard.
Yeah. I know Don.
Do you really? Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Don's great.
Such a fan of his. And really integrating a lot of his philosophy into my work, or transcribing it. And, you know, the importance of having a daily routine for my instrument, not just for my deadlines. Mm-hmm. You know, is that necessary, or is that how you maintain your longevity? Is that part of it? You know, do you work out like 3 times a week? You know what I mean? The way you would like a physical trainer, like what's the best methodology for a voice actor specifically, and singers too, to strengthen their sort of base state? Is it that sort of type of workout, and what's a good workout plan for that?
Yeah, so definitely it is something that should be daily. And the reason why I say daily is because you're dealing with human tissue, and that human tissue changes. That it can change with how much you sleep. It can change with if you're on medications. It can change if you had a heavy voice load the day before, where the next day you're feeling froggy. It can change on hydration. I mean, there's so many components that can affect what's happening vocally, that every day you should be assessing, where is my voice at? And that is with a warm up, you know. And it's also a way for you guys to monitor if there's any changes. Like, have you noticed a loss of range? Huh. Have you noticed where you have dynamic differences? Have you noticed, oh, there's a little husky right here? Or when I talk in these certain pitch ranges, or when I sing in these certain pitch ranges, something is not right. So it's a way of you having that daily assessment of, okay, this is where I'm at today. And it's really important to do a cool down after doing your vocal demand, because you need to get a reset back into resting length or resting position. You know, because if we have, so say for instance, we'll go back to the athlete, you know, terminology. If you were a runner and you were running a marathon and you ended up with a rock in your shoe, and all of us have had a rock in our shoe at some point.
Yeah.
If you were to continually walk with that rock in your shoe or run with that rock, you're going to start changing your gait. You're going to start changing the way your weight distributes. You're going to start training everything else. And just as how, you know, this could go into a whole anatomy thing where your body is connected through all these different tissues, you're going to start compensating for that. And so it's really important that when you have heavy demands or you have these long days, you got to remove that rock out of your vocal tract, essentially, so that you get back to balance. Because if you wake up hoarse and you're like, I'm just going to push through this again and get through it, you're going to start changing the functionality of what has to happen.
Yeah.
And then you're going to create problems down the line, because then that muscle memory is going to start maneuvering in there. And you're like, oh, I have a new norm because I'm already in this different manipulative state. And so it's really important to reset, warm up before, cool down, and also reset during the day so that you get back into balance, you know, so that you're not, you know, off of that tier, that you get back to home base a little bit.
And the straw phonation technique is the thing that you've discovered that is like the one of the quicker ways to sort of reset. Is that how what that functionality is about, is like getting, I mean, I've seen enough to be dangerous, but I'm by no, and I've used it, and I really have found it to be incredibly helpful, both in daily warm up, because like what I got from you, what I bought was the straw pack, and then you included some audio files, that I use for the workout. And I've been, like, the past year, I've taken singing lessons once a week and that kind of stuff, just because, I wanted to have confidence in it. It's in so many auditions.
I know.
And it's like, it's a necessary thing. And I'm a karaoke impressionist belter, right? Like, I can do, I'm not bragging, this is true. I can do a dead, solid, perfect Meatloaf impression. I've got the... hang on. Let me turn down my gain.
I need to hear this right now.
I'm going to turn down my gain and prove it. Here we go. I'm going to turn down my gain. Here we go. All right.
And I would do anything for love. I'd run right into hell and back.
So there you go. There's my...
Here's my lighter up,
yes,
right there.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was pretty good.
Thank
good
you.
Job.
I mean, it lives, and it's funny because when it comes from the diaphragm and I'm belting like that and it's high pitched, I don't feel any strain in my vocal cords at all. Which I'm just realizing. And like, even if my voice is a little rough, I can still do that. Whereas I can't do Sting or Peter Gabriel, which is all about compression, you know? Yeah. You know, that aspirated.
Yeah. So the kit you got is the voice straw kit. Yes. Excuse me. And that is what, when I went to school and I worked in the labs and stuff like that, we had to do this whole lab series. Straw Phonation has been around for 20 years. And one of the main scientists who's behind it, his name's Dr. Ingo Tietze. And he and I became very, very, very quick, fast friends going through there. And it was always frustrated me that all these other instrumentalists, you know, for a guitar, you have a capo, you can just restring, you can do all this other stuff. You know, woodwinds, you have new reeds that can go in and change it.
Yeah.
Vocalists did not have anything. And yeah, I mean, there's a ton of stuff out there that's on Straw Phonation and do it, but a lot of people don't understand how to do it correctly. And that is because it's not a one size fits all system. And so that's why I actually developed the Voice Straw Kit, was so that there could be these different variables, because your voice changes, you know, as we talked about, with depending on what your tissue is like inside your throat.
Yeah.
And so the Straw Phonation, when you get the correct size and length of the straw, which we talk about in that packet that you go through, is that what you're doing is you're regulating how much air pressure comes up from the vocal cord. So if the vocal cords are out of sync, if you're hoarse, if all of a sudden you're like the dying goat for a minute.
Peter Brady,
It's because the alignment is off on the vocal cords. You're not getting an even and symmetric slap. So we call it a squaring up. So the straw, because you can control the variable with the diameter and length, you're getting the airflow coming up, and then you're getting the airflow that can't pass through the straw to come back down onto the vocal cord. So you get the squaring up effect.
I see.
But you're also getting it based on the size. You're getting the pharynx to open. So the pharynx is the throat, everything above the vocal cords. And what happens is because you're getting that positioning the right way, we're building up what science calls inertens, or essentially it's good energy. And so you're getting the air to match with the good energy, which then makes the acoustics work together so that you don't have to work as hard. So when you have a heavy voice demand, or you're going out singing Meatloaf or whatever,
right.
You know, going through there, you rebalance and it re-gets that configuration. If you're doing efforts, or you're talking in, say, a kid voice, where all of a sudden you're like, throwing the larynx up.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's right here. Whatever. I'm manipulating that. I got to reposture it back down so that I maintain that flexibility, instead of all of a sudden my throat going and clamping up and staying in that constriction or that contortion. It pulls it so everything gets flexible and puts it back, and it's fast and it's effective. Like, you don't have to do it longer than 2 minutes. You know, you're just like resetting it.
Now, if I let's say I switch into that Bugs Bunny voice up here, and I've moved my larynx up, so then I can. So you use the straw to help you find the neutral, or is it a mental? Like, how do I move my larynx? I know that.
So you would do the straw to get the balance in the first place.
Okay.
And then in the kit, did you get the cups with it?
Yeah, I got the cups as well.
Yeah. So then, what's awesome with this is that you still maintain the effects of the straw. So you're still getting that benefit of the aerodynamics. But now with the cup, when we have that tight seal, we can contort the way we need to contort. We can raise that larynx up, but we're not over engaging it enough. We're all of a sudden we're over compressing because we're still getting the benefit of what the aerodynamic is of the cup. And that's why it marries really together. So if I were to do that high kid voice and I don't know, like, or Bugs Bunny voice or whatever, and say my line was, I can't wait to have dinner, or something like that.
Yes, okay? That's the line.
So if I had it here, I would go through it in the straw.
Is this, now, as you do it, this is, because there's two lengths in the kit. So there's the short straw and the long straw. And those two lengths also matter for the amount of pressure, right? So
exactly. And it matters to the way your voice is. So say just naturally. So I'm going to take out sound for a minute. So okay. Sound is completely out and I'm just working the source. Yeah. So I'm just working the actual vocal cords. If I was a breathy person where like my voice, like, you know, yeah. You have a lot of people that are like kind of totally. That sexy down there, you know, whatever. Yeah, exactly. And I needed to get more connection.
Yeah.
I would go a smaller straw. If I was naturally someone who had a lot of compression, who like, if I were to sing a line and I was like, and I was going to vocally lift, like you can feel that squeeze and strain.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would need fatter. I would need a bigger straw because we need to get that to relax first. Huh. And so that's why it's always going to change throughout the day. So in the morning, if I wake up and I'm froggy and I'm like, whoo, I have to work hard. Yeah. I may need the fatter straw. And then in the middle of the day, I might be in the smaller straw. So it's all about finding the resistance or that back pressure.
I see.
In that right way of filling in there. Because there shouldn't ever be squeeze or strain. But you will feel kind of like a pillowing or a weight that comes down on it, which is getting that pharynx to move so that you get that good energy boost we're having.
I see. Okay, cool.
So if I were to do that Bugs Bunny and it was, hey, mom, what's for dinner? Okay. Yeah. So if I were to going to be doing it, be like, hey, mom, what's for dinner? Or whatever. I would go through the straw first.
Mm-hmm.
And I would kind of go in that pitch placement. So not the actual pull of the larynx up, but
yeah.
Then I would take it in the cup and make sure it's really tight seal so air can't come around. But uh-huh. That's when I'd go into the character of it.
Hey, mom, what's for dinner? Hey, mom, what's for dinner? I'm now in a spot that's there versus, hey, mom, hey, yeah. Mom.
It's just, you can feel the physical difference that goes in there where I'm getting it naturally versus over compressing into it.
Wow. I mean, it's so clear to just even hear it in this it's like,
yeah.
The first time Sissy did it for me, it was a straight up magic trick. And then, you know, talking through it, it's still like you're talking about how the trick is done. And then you do it and it's still, your mind is still blown.
What I love is with VO people, because you guys edit your own engineering, like you edit your own lines, is you can visibly see the sound wave difference. You can see how instead of peaking and like going up, you're naturally compressing. You're naturally compressing so you don't peak, where you don't have to do it because you're getting all the, I mean, here's where the science-y nerdy comes in, is you're getting all the overtones and undertones to work together instead of having that peaking, you know, that's going on.
Yeah.
So it's less time of editing.
It's like you're getting the full spectrum, all the colors, and you're not like the compression is literally like an MP3 of, so I'm still adapting to learning a lot of the tech because I'm an actor and not much of a scientist. So as you learn the new things and these science apply to me, these are scientific realities that are in my instrument. And if I don't fully understand the complexity and in some respects, what these different terms mean, it helps us to be able to better communicate too, as talking between, you know, athlete and coach, to be able to describe what's the nature of the feeling in your knee. Well, it pinches. If I just say it hurts, then it's like, okay, great. But how does it hurt? It's the same kind of thing of having an understanding of like, you know, like when you talk about your voice compressing, like that's strain, right? Or like literally like in
effort.
Yeah. So like to be able to you just said all those things. I'm just echoing exactly what you said, but like I think it's important for us to be able to have the awareness, and then B, to be able to really start to understand what's actually going in so we can solve those problems or speed it up, you know. I think I just
absolutely,
you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, is that we want to have, we want to be effortless in our voicing versus effortful, even though we may need it to sound effortful, if that makes sense. Sometimes we need to have that, hey, you know, where you're like gripping into it, but there's a difference of the, hey, versus, hey, hey, hey. Like you can make the different sound, which is what this tool does, is it shows us the awareness of how we can get into it without having all the effort. Or if we need to have the effort because that's what it's called for, we're able to do it in a healthier way, and then we rebalance out. So again, we're not doing that limping, you know, after one of those sessions.
Yeah. Oh boy, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's, I was so happy to finally have something, you know, that really explains it, because, you know, like I said, there's a lot of stuff out there that's like, oh, just sing through a coffee straw. And it's not that. Your voice may not be able to handle that much pressure in there. And so you might be adding more strain.
Yeah.
Which is why you need to play around with the different sizes and the different diameters and really understand what healthy back pressure feels like.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know, what's important. But yeah, it's cool.
That's so true. Let me ask this. So I understand fully the idea of why the daily, the especially using it during auditions, you know, mid-session, you know, I mean, it was one of the things that Sissy said. She's like, I'll never walk into a booth without it. And it's just something that I communicate to the engineer and to the producers. Like, look, I want to be able to give you a full 4-hour session, and I want to be able to walk out of here and shake your hand. Well, maybe not shake your hands, but elbows anyway. But with my full voice, you know, and not limp out of here. No one wants to feel like you've wrung me out. So this is the steps I need to take, and a little bit of communication will make everything go smoother. You know, just tell people this is my process, and that's how you work through it. How can VoiceStraw in particular help me recover? If I make a mistake, if I hurt myself in a session, is this good for rehabilitation, getting back up? How soon after? Like, I know every case is different, but generally, like if I do a Warcraft session and I blow my voice out as an orc, so specifically been doing deep lower stuff, like what's a good way to, and I left it at home, how do I recover from using this? Or is it best to just shut the F up for a couple days until my voice comes back?
You want to try and rebalance as fast as you can after.
Really?
You know, so if you don't have the system with you.
Yeah.
Well, first and foremost, if you don't advocate for your own voice, nobody else is. So the fact that Sissy's taking that into the sessions is really awesome, because she's starting to bring an awareness of self-advocating, and it's going to become a new norm for sure.
Yeah.
Because your engineers and the producers and the directors, they're looking at it like getting it done and I need to have it.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, if you, it literally takes 30 seconds and you're rebalanced.
Yes.
Like, you don't have to do it a lot. And so that's one thing that I always say, is that you guys have to self-advocate for yourself, because nobody else is going to. And when you start self-advocating, other people are going to feel inspired to self-advocate for themselves. So the fact that like the pros, quote unquote, are starting to do that is really encouraging for these up and comers to feel like they have a say or a voice to do it.
Yeah.
But afterwards, like if you had that heavy session or whatever, if you don't have a straw, which we kind of presented at the Savara project, is if you take your knuckles, the flat of your knuckles, and you put it against your lips and you kind of start doing that, that's going to help. Or go get a straw, like a McDonald's straw or a straw at 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Slap it in a bottle of water and you start blowing into that straw in the water, because that's going to help get things to move and relax in a healthy way.
Gotcha.
So you want to do it. The only time you would ever need to shut up immediately and go see a doctor is if you feel a snap. If you feel like when you're actually in there, and it's like, think of like a rubber band snap. If you feel an actual snap, you probably hemorrhaged. And that's when you need an actual camera in your throat to like look at. And then that is complete voice rest.
Wow.
And so that would be the caveat. If you're just like, I'm grungy, groggy, froggy, like I sound like this, or, you know, like I can't really talk right now, you know, or you're hoarse.
Yeah.
Straw it out in water, in a big, you know, thing of that. And that will usually help it. But
wow. And then like rice, right? Rest ice. That's not right. Rest in invert, whatever. Rice. When you, my wife was, My wife, you know, she was an athlete.
Ice, compress and elevate.
Yeah, that's it. That's what you're supposed to do.
I'm like, what's my, from being a licensed massage therapist, rice is rest, ice, compression, elevate.
Yes.
Okay, I think that's right.
That, doing.
People are going to comment on this, and so they're going to be like, you guys are idiots. It's totally not that. Okay, sorry.
Sorry. I told you, there's a caveat. I'm just a voice actor. I mean, And, you know, yeah, so there's, it's all, but that's the beauty of the journey of this is you get to learn all these wonderful new things and that you continue to explore and feed yourself with new information. How often after an injury do you do that? Like, do you, you know, what you would, you do it immediately after, and then do you, like, every 30 minutes
put a strong? You want to rest, for sure. Uh-huh. Yeah, you want to rest. So, like, if I had a heavy day, you know, or I was going through stuff, I would definitely strut in water, kind of take it easy.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that you vocalize in it as low, like low to high. You want to make sure you're using full range of motion and full pitches that you have available to you.
Okay.
To go through there. Again, that's your assessment of knowing like, ooh, my higher register is gone, or, oh, my lower register is out.
Yeah.
And so that's really important. And it's also, whenever you vocalize, you want to go full range of motion, because just as how your body ages and atrophy, even if you're not a singer and you're not singing high, you're just talking in a certain octave range, you yeah. want to make sure you're using full motion, because that will affect the lower ranges or where you're at if you don't maintain the full functionality or that full,
like, elasticity, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're just trying to get it because you don't want to lose it, yeah. you know, like in there. So it would be like, I would, like, if you were to call me and you're like, yo, Mindy, I just had a really rough session. Can you work me out and see what's going on?
Yeah.
First thing I'm going to ask you is, do you have a nebulizer and do you have your straws? Those are the two things that out the gate, I'm going to be like, give me those two things and we can work with it.
What is it? Okay? What is a nebulizer?
A nebulizer is like, you know, people have humidifiers and steamers and yeah. stuff like that. Those, when people use a steamer or a nebulizer, it actually doesn't touch your vocal cords. It only makes your nose and mouth wet, because really? The water particles are too big. A nebulizer is something that breaks the water particles down small enough that as you inhale it in, it goes through the vocal cords. And so it actually hydrates the vocal cords versus a steamer and humidifier will not.
Oh man. That's yeah. a trip. So even if you're like sitting right on top of the steamer going, all I'm really doing is just burning my sinuses. Like,
yeah,
I'm not really
getting it in your mouth and nose.
Yeah.
Because the water particles aren't big enough for it. So a nebulizer really breaks it down.
Wow.
Into smaller particles to get down. And that's been proven in numerous scientific journals.
Amazing.
And so that's like a myth that we always try and like talk to people about, you know, about that. So a nebulizer and a straw are going to be things. So I'm going to say, give me, start in the bubble. Let me hear it. Let me see what's going on. Rebalance it out.
Yeah.
And then it would be like, okay, I need you to rest the rest of the night. Don't do anything else heavy. And then we're going to reassess it in the morning after you've had some good sleep.
Okay.
Amazing. So, you know, everybody's voice is going to be different
sure.
on where it is. You know, usually in a rough voice session, and I'm just going to say this from my own personal experience.
Sure.
Okay. So this is not, I'm not a doctor.
Yes.
Or any of that. But if you just had one rough session and you didn't feel that snapping, most likely it's just pretty swollen. Now that could change based on if you smoke or vape and uh-huh. all these other things that are other conditions that come into there.
Yeah.
So usually I say wait 3 days. If the voice hasn't come back after those 3 days, then we need to go get a picture done because you could have blown a blood vessel on there.
Yeah.
Most of the time, if it's not something that's consistently abused, within 3 days, the voice will usually clear back.
Okay.
So.
I mean, what's the efficacy of like throat coat and loquat syrup and honey syrup and lozenges and all the other, and like the throat sprays and all this stuff, and chloroseptic lives in a different space because it numbs that, right? So like
yeah.
I was told early on, like, if you have a sore throat, don't hit yourself with chloroseptic because you could hurt yourself again. Like with all these sort of over-the-counter you know, solutions, do we have to keep drinking Slippery Elm, or is there, I mean, clearly this is, I think, a much more scientific and effective way yeah. of solving your problems, but is there,
well, what do you think? What do you think they help you?
I mean, they make me feel like I'm doing something. I do feel like, I mean, the first time I had, I mean, I've always been an extrovert and loud. But the first time I had to do it in front of a microphone, I mean, I had a national campaign for Dodge,
And it was literally called the Scream Campaign. And I screamed offers. And I mean, I was also performing on stage at Second City. So like I would do these sessions during the day and do like 20 TV spots. And I saw more money than I'd ever seen in my life. But then I also would get to the theater and be like, I have nothing in my tank and I got to go back tomorrow. And so I would live holding this hot little cup of throat coat that Keegan recommended. And then when they didn't have that, it was other tea. And it like, and the same thing with the loquat syrup, like the red syrup that and there's a lot of booths. It helps for maybe 10, 15 seconds. Like I feel like if I drank a McDonald's shake, it would do the same thing of like, it's just putting something thick on my vocal cords for a minute to soothe them. And then I'm back to rough. Is that an accurate assessment or is there real value or?
Well, okay. So this is another one of those things that Mythbusters that, Dr. Gupta and I talk about all the time. Nothing you swallow will touch your vocal cords. Because you would choke. I mean, just think about it. When you eat, when you like suck in wrong or you get there, you have this huge coughing spasm.
Yeah.
Your body will not allow anything to touch your vocal cords. So when you ingest anything, not inhale, but ingest, you have the actual trachea where your vocal cords sit kind of moves forward a little bit and the epiglottis closes and then your epiglottis closes and the esophagus actually opens. So it is totally, and then your false folds, that's one of the things that it does is it goes to protect when you swallow. So throat coat, the LaCroix, like all of that, none of that touches your vocal cords. Okay. Yeah. So when you're doing it, you may be rough in the back of your throat because of the contortions that you're doing.
Yeah.
It may touch that to give you some sort of relief of like, you know, like going down in there, but it is actually doing nothing for your vocal cords.
Wow.
So that's one thing, you know, like, but again, like you have hot tea. When you have a hot pack, it soothes.
Yeah.
And so like if your throat, like in the upper areas, or like if you're rattling some of those sounds to create the distortion, they could be, you know, they could be like, oh, like I need some help here. So like a hot tea, you might find relief in that.
Yeah.
But nothing is touching the actual cords. And so you're doing nothing to help that hygiene. The one thing that has been proven is actual hydration. So, and I say this a lot for my touring artists when I go out, is they're like, okay, I have a big show today, so I need to drink a lot of water so I'm hydrated. Well, actually, you need to do it 72 hours before.
Oh, wow.
Because it takes a while for your body to absorb the actual hydration. So if you have a heavy voice day on, say, Monday, on Sunday or Saturday and Sunday is when you really need to prepare the water so that your body's acclimated to it. So then you're hydrated going into that. It's not a day of thing. It's just going to, if you do it day of and you're not drinking water leading up to it, all you're going to be doing is peeing more because it's just like out like crazy.
You're just throwing it into your stomach. It's really not getting absorbed into your body as fully as you think.
So you need to do it about 48 to 72 hours in advance to go through it.
Wow.
Yeah. Amazing. So, yeah. So that's, you know, it's always a fun topic because I love, you know, like, and I love these, throat lozenges. There's three that I love that I actually have in my touring kit. I love vocal zones, because I love the menthol and I just feel like it just helps me open everything up, which menthol does. It like helps my sinuses. It helps everything go through.
Yeah.
And then I love these two other doTERRA lozenges, a Breathe and an On Guard. So if I'm feeling sick, just with the oil stuff in there, it helps me.
Awesome.
But the other stuff, like anything swallowing.
Doesn't do anything. It's just candy.
Not unless it provides, unless your throat is like, upper part is a little sore and tender, but it does not help the cords.
Okay. Well, that's really, really good to know. And disappointing. Yeah. Disappointing in a lot of ways, Mindy.
Well, yeah, everybody wants a quick fix.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, hey, I need to have that. I need to get into there and do it, which is why it's really important. It's just like dieting. Nobody wants to freaking diet. Everybody wants like the freaking cookie and the donuts. Like that's what I want, you know?
Yeah.
But at some point it catches up to you, which is why you need to set up the healthy habit. You know, the straw or these exercises that are, it's called SOVT, you know, like a lip buzz that help get that alignment is really where it's going to go.
Yeah.
But the straw has been scientifically proven to get the source. Again, it's not about the sound, it's about getting the source in alignment, which is why it's really important when you're doing those extremes are a lot of workout to get that home base back in.
Oh man, that's so great. Just to jump back in, and this is just, again, a little factoid to hold in mind when you're in a long session. How frequently should you, like, prep or charge or reset in a session? Let's say I've got an Excel spreadsheet of 400 callouts in front of me. And if I reset and then I do, like, do I do it before each one? Or should I do it before, like, after every, like, 10? Or, like, every time I start to feel it? Like, what's the frequency of needing to, you know, put the cup on and then yell grenade a couple times before I go in? Does that reset last or for a little bit? Like, what's the frequency that I need to do it?
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a good question. And that's really going to be dependent on the user. So usually when you start feeling like, whoo, that was that one, whoo, that pinged me, got that,
yeah,
automatically reset.
Okay.
That first and foremost is the first one. Like, when I work with somebody doing exertions, I'll usually be like, okay, if we have, you know, because usually you'll record grenade how many times? A gazillion, right?
Yeah, it depends. Like, most of them, one of my favorite directors has an animation of what the fall or what the action is going to be, and will limit it to two. Like, most directors I've encountered are hearing what we're saying and are saying, we got to get it, but I'm not going to tap you until all the sap is gone. But all, you know, so there's an openness and an awareness that I've been experiencing in the community that supports it. But usually they save the barks for, which is dehumidifying, which is not what it is. Dehumanizing, to be doing barks at the end of a session. But at the very end. So that's it. We'll do a half hour of really extreme stuff.
Before you do the extreme, I would for sure reset it. So, like, I'll tell, like, Sissy, for example, like, when she's getting ready to do something, and again, if she's watching it so she can see the timing and everything else,
yeah,
I'm having her straw it while she's watching it. So if she's sitting there and it's like, grenade, and I'll be like, mm-hmm. So she's already resetting while she's getting the timing of it. And then I'll be like, okay, let's do it one time. Grenade! And, like, go amazing through it, all that. So it's already locked in. So it's just about being smart on how to be efficient and not waste anybody's time. But if you're literally watching it to get the timing of how it's in there,
use that time.
Reset it right there, like, while you're doing it. You know, honestly, it's going to be about how you feel. And if you have to do an intense scream, I would for sure be like, all right, cool, give me 30 seconds. And then I'm like, going into it, doing it, and then I'll lay it down. And that, once you usually find the pocket, you can do it a few times.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, it's as much as if I was in a session and I had to do it and I was like, I need a sip of water. It's the same sort of break that 100%. They would give
you. Or let me hurry and go to the bathroom real fast. Like, I need to have a potty break. So, like, run to the bathroom, hurry and do it, come back. It's not there. I mean, with how much we're talking about it and how exciting the VO world is, I think it's not going to be an issue much longer. I think people, especially with how heavy the demands are getting, especially in video games.
Yes.
You know, and people, like, directors, they're not wanting to ruin voices. They're not wanting people to get hurt. Yes, they're on a budget and they're on a timesheet. But here's the but. When you get your voice in that balance, you're going to get quicker and better takes faster than having to keep redoing it.
Yes.
And so, and essentially, you're going to start saving time because you're going to be more efficient versus, like, hang on, let me get a second, or, oh, that didn't sound right, or that. And then you're constantly going over it in the wrong way.
Yeah.
So we just got to kind of start thinking the positivity of that.
Totally.
And realizing you're going to get better takes when you do this. And so it's going to be less effort because you're not going to have to keep repeating it.
Yeah. It's measure twice and cut once. Like, it's just smart production.
Yeah, you're so just great, like, getting in there to be effective and efficient, you know, versus like, okay, hang on, time out. Oh, I got to take another break. Oh, hang on, let me get water. Oh, I need to get this. It's just like, no, let me just boom, 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 do it.
Amazing. There was one thing you just did, and it was when you were doing the short straw before doing the grenade call out, and you did it before you did the cup, and you released the air pressure after it. So you went, bah. So, like, you made, you exhaled the rest of the air outside of the straw.
Is that just so you don't like sit here blowing the air out and just release it? Or like the back pressure of it is just like, okay, I've created the pressure.
I did it because I probably died. I was visualizing the grenade and then I was like, grenade.
Oh no, I didn't let go of the grenade. I pulled the pin. I counted to five and then yelled and blew myself up.
I was visualizing my exhale. So there's really no rhyme in that. It's just more about what it is. But like, if my effort is to be like, hey, grenade, you know, and I'm going through there, it'd be the same. Hey, grenade. Like I'm right in there to do it.
Oh, that's so amazing.
You can hear that difference right there too.
Totally. Completely. Yeah. Oh. Dude, this has been so great, and so great to get to know you a little bit better. And
absolutely.
I mean, just so fun. Thank you for taking me through this. How can our listeners find a voice draw or get the kit and also learn from you if they've got, you know, specific health questions I don't know if I expressed this to you or not, but like there were a couple people that when I did my first Instagram unboxing of the voice draw who were like, excuse me, what is this? And then you connected to those people. I was really moved by that. So thank you for, you know, your commitment to helping people, you know, find their joy again in being able to sing and being able to do the things that they want to be able to do, but find themselves facing a limitation. So thank you for that. That meant a great deal.
Well, and honestly, it's something that I really feel is my purpose, to be honest with you, is to really try and get this vocal advocacy out there. Like I want a strong player and I'm really passionate about it. So yeah, so the people that had specific things, they did reach out to me and we have sessions set up where I can talk to them and see if we can help them out and really kind of solidify a team effort on there.
Fantastic.
So anybody can follow me personally at Mindy Pack. It's just my name, MindyPack.
Uh-huh.
You can also follow The Voice Draw, you know, and kind of go through there on Instagram. The website is voicedraw.com, where there's a bunch of different things. And then I actually set up a discount for your followers.
Oh, so man, amazing.
If they go to voicedraw.com and they type in KIFVH, so KIFVH, all capital, and I'll send that to you so you can put it in the podcast description too.
Amazing, thank you.
But they actually get a discount on purchases if they
want.
Fantastic,
thank you so much. That's so
awesome. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
I just... Honestly, the reason I created this, and people always make fun of me because they're like, you should charge more. And I'm like, no, I just want to help people. Like, truly, this is a way for any voice user to be effective and efficient. And that's been my whole motive, is just to help people to have this. And so I'm really proud of how it turned out and to have it be a tool to have people have longevity in their career and even in their life. And even one of your followers who's not a singer, but having difficulty even speaking, you know, like to have some amount of hope to be able to communicate again, not in a professional way, is really inspiring, you know, because without voice, like that is the way of communication. And so to not have that would just be so tragic, in my opinion.
Oh, man, I completely agree. Well, thank you so much for everything you're doing. And
absolutely. And thank you.
I mean, thank you for the impact it's already had in my, in the brief amount of time that I've known you and known your work and your product, how it's already given me so many benefits in my audition life and my practice life and my daily practice. And
I'll
definitely continue to do that. So thank you.
Yeah. And hit me up with questions. If anything you have or whatever, like, we're best friends now. So
yes, we are. It's the best part about doing a podcast is like I get to choose who I want to have best friends with, and it's amazing.
It's coffee talk.
It's coffee talk. That's
coffee
right.
Coffee talk with Kiff and Mindy.
That's right. So feel free to tweet your questions to Coffee Talk with Kiff and Mindy, and we'll see you later.
Absolutely. Well, anytime awesome. You want to voice nerd, you hit me up and we can have many, many episodes.
Yes, we certainly can. I love it. Mindy Pack, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much.
And
have a good one.
You too. Take care. And thank you for listening, listeners. And we'll be back with more episodes soon. Take care. Peace. This has been All Over VoiceOver with Kiff VH. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please go to iTunes and give us a positive rating. It truly helps. Follow me on Twitter at Kiff VH or on Instagram at Kiff VH or on Vero at Kiff VH. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you soon. Claim victory and depart the field.
Werewolf?
Yeah.